Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Here we are, once again back in the swamp chasing cryptids around. This is episode 30, quite a big milestone. Never thought we'd make it this far in this series, let alone any other series. Today, more viewers just like you sent in their allegedly true, creepy experiences with what they call cryptid creatures. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a cryptid creature or something else that you've seen, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. The stories like yours will help keep this channel going. I know it's been a little while since I've done some of these cryptid stories, and I do apologize for that. I've just been trying to focus on other types of content and covering new stuff. But let's get back on track. Let's get into these creepy stories that'll freak you out tonight. I've been listening to narrated cryptid and mystery stories for about a year now. My favorite is your channel, as it's a great way to space out while I'm working. I've contemplated sharing a story for a while now, but have avoided for multiple reasons. One of them being the fact that it's frustrating to have people think your story could be false when you've experienced it firsthand. With that being said, I certainly don't believe all the stories I hear, which is where my frustration comes from. I know upon sharing the story, there will be those that think it's fabricated, as I have thought this in the past as well. I assure you, the story that I'm about to share is entirely true, and has not been exaggerated in any way. For what it's worth, I'm a biologist, and my ability to make an accurate observation is what pays my bills. Now for the story. It was about midnight, and my friend Jen and I were aimlessly driving around, trying to think of something to do. I recalled a conversation a friend and I had recently, where he mentioned that he had some hand-chiseled Freemason headstones in an old wooded graveyard about an hour outside of town. I proposed the idea of visiting the graveyard to photograph the headstones, as I'm a bit of a conspiracy buff, and figured the late-night adventure would solve our boredom. She immediately accepted the idea and seemed pretty excited. We set out towards the cemetery, with me explaining to her that the headstones I was told about were towards the back and we'd have to walk a decent ways into the woods to find them. We jokingly talked about how we would need to be on guard for random psychopaths strolling around as we pulled into the tiny town outside of the cemetery. Neither of us had been into the tiny town prior to this, or the cemetery itself, nor had we done any research on the location. If we had, I don't think we would have been willing to go. The town was smaller than a mile. It was completely dark and desolate, with no lights anywhere. It's not a ghost town, but it may as well have been at 1 a.m. We slowly drove through the town, in fear of waking someone and having our plans foiled. We made it through the town and to the front of the cemetery, parking in the gravel lot outside the front of the gates. I stepped out of the car and was greeted by the smell of pine trees, as I looked up to see them towering all around us. Only slivers of the night sky could be seen amidst the treetops, allowing very little moonlight to pour through. As soon as Jen exited the vehicle, her demeanor had changed entirely. She went from excited with a childlike curiosity to nervous and reluctant. As we walked through the gates, I was overwhelmed with an intense feeling that almost made me black out. I've never felt anything like this before. what I could only describe as an overbearing, nostalgic feeling. It wasn't a feeling of fear, and at this point, I wasn't scared yet. I was more so curious. I attempted to shrug it off and we started our walk. The beginning of the cemetery contained children's graves. It makes you think. Seeing a headstone that says September 1864 to October 1864. What a short life. We were talking about the children's graves when we saw a plaque, explaining that the cemetery we stood in and the town we had just driven through were the first in the state. It explained people were drawn to the area for gold mining, and that the cemetery had over 2,000 people buried in it, the majority of them in unmarked graves. With gold comes slavery, robbery, and murder. It was at this time I realized this wasn't a normal cemetery. The children had died of diseases, a large portion of the adults died fighting over precious metals, and the bodies of the slaves were being held against their will eternally in unmarked graves, thousands of miles from their homelands. So much suffering concentrated into one small spot. At this time, fear hadn't presented itself to me yet. I was still curious and wanted to push forward. Jen was ready to leave at any time, so it all boiled down to me getting the photographs of the headstones. We aimlessly walked through the woods using our phones to illuminate the headstones. Nature had reclaimed the area decades ago. Our lights were shining on headstones that were so overgrown with moss, lichen, and plant life that they were illegible. The entire cemetery was like something out of a Stephen King book. About 45 minutes of walking, Jen stopped suddenly and was asking if I had heard a noise off in the distance. I told her I had heard it, but it was a standard wildlife noise and to not be worried. At this point, she looked around and then locked arms with me and wouldn't let go. As we walked for a few more minutes, we came to a plot of family graves. We stopped to examine the inscriptions when all of a sudden, there came a cracking noise so loud that it shook my chest. It came from just a couple of feet behind us. We spun around us and started shining our lights around the area. We happened to be in a clearing, allowing us to see our surroundings without any hindrance. There was nothing. Before I could fully process what was happening, Jen and I were running back to the car. We made it back without seeing or hearing anything else, and we sped out of there, not caring if we woke anyone up or were pulled over. I immediately attempted to rationalize it by telling Jen a deer, moose, elk, or bear must have stepped on a large branch and broken it. This was feasible, but not only did we not see any animals, but there were no noises before or after, meaning an animal didn't approach and then run away. It went from dead silence to crackling, back to dead silence. I tried saying it was a decaying limb in one of the trees nearby, but nothing fell and the closest trees were yards away. Not to mention the sound came from ground level. It was as if a branch the width of a grown man's leg was snapped clean in half without any resistance, just feet behind me. It wasn't a slow or partial crack like you would hear when a tree is being cut down. It sounded like lightning in an IMAX movie theater. After some time had passed by and the adrenaline wore off, I realized I couldn't rationalize what had happened. It came from ground level, meaning it wasn't a decaying branch in a tree, and there were no sounds of commotion, meaning it wasn't an animal. I went home and did some research, and it turns out people who live in that town refuse to go to that cemetery after dark. They claim that some sort of Sasquatch guards it. I understand why now. I never even got the pictures I was after, but I don't think I'm gonna go if there's some sort of Sasquatch stalking around. This happened on Lake Champlain about 15 years ago. My friend Tom and I would rent a cabin on the lake every year since we were teenagers. We enjoyed taking the boat out as well as fishing from the tube, a popular area that was on the lake and behind a tube that led into a backwater and some sort of swamp. There was a road that went over the tube usually every night in the summer. It was packed with fishermen fishing for catfish. My friend had to leave suddenly for a family emergency, so I was going to be alone for a few days, then he was coming back up. That night I decided to go down to the tube and go fishing. It was a nice summer night with a breeze coming off the lake. As I parked my truck, I noticed that the tube fishing area was completely empty, and that was surprising. I had never even seen this area empty before, but the good news was, I could get the fishing spot that I wanted. I set up my two poles and got nice and comfortable. Far in the distance, I could see the bridge to New York State, and the lights reflecting off the lake. Adding in to the nice breeze, it was perfect. I was there for about an hour, and no fish were biting. I could hear a howling noise coming from behind me in the backwater swamp area. It was far away, so I thought maybe it was coyotes. As I sat on the bank, I noticed that the howling was steadily getting closer, and it sounded like multiple animals or something. Add in the breeze, and it was making a howling sound like it was starting to spread out more. I still was not really worried about that, but that would all change. I had been hearing these noises for probably around 20 minutes at this point, and no cars had driven down the road, so it was very dark. Just as I thought it couldn't get any closer or more scary, the howling was noticeably getting louder and headed straight towards where I seemed to be. I still didn't plan on leaving, but it was getting very weird. As the noises got much louder, I got more unsettled. I really feared it was something larger, as the noises were nothing I had ever heard before. It was almost like they were surrounding me, and I would not be able to leave. At this point, I said to myself, I don't want to meet whatever is making these howling noises, as it seemed like they were only 50 yards away. I reeled in my lines and grabbed the tackle box and sprinted for my truck. The worst part was, where my tri-chromatic was parked, was heading towards the noises. I was running so fast I opened the back and threw the gear in and jumped in the truck. I took off and hung a sharp right turn away and back towards my cabins. I was so unnerved to drive past the cabins and over the bridge to New York. After driving 20 minutes, I pulled over in a rest area and stayed there for about an hour until I could drive back to the cabins. I definitely didn't sleep well that night. I'm not sure what I heard, but thankfully, I won't go back there alone ever. My family and my dad's side all live in and around Cumberland, Kentucky. My father moved to northern Indiana before I was born, as there was a lot of work up here. Anyways, he met my mom, then I came along, and as I was growing up, we often visited our family in Kentucky. Through the years, I would spend my summer vacations down there. Looking back on it, I don't think there was anything I would rather do than stay down in that holler on the banks of the Cumberland River. I guess I was 15 years old that summer. I couldn't wait to get down there and ride my horse, shoot my .30-30 Winchester that my Uncle Fred gave me, but most of all, I couldn't wait to go camping. I could hardly sleep the night before. I must have cleaned that rifle 3 times. I had all my gear packed up and ready to leave out on a dolly the next morning. Daylight finally started to come, and I saddled up my horse with all my gear and rode down into the riverbank where I had a campsite ready, and I was stoked. I had found it the previous summer. It wasn't long before my Uncle Fred's coonhound showed up looking for a handout. After setting up my tent and unpacking, I decided to go see if I could find any new caves. They were everywhere down there. I went off into a new spot I had never been before, hoping to find some arrowheads or some new caves. And that's when I heard a buck open up on something. I could tell he was cold tracking, so I kept moving up and down a hill in a very rugged country area. About a mile from camp, I found an opening to a cave at the top of a hill. The mouth of the cave was facing the river. It was a beautiful view. I remember looking down and seeing some blackberries in a small pile, like something was gathering them and putting them in a pile at the mouth of this cave. I didn't think much of it, so I shined my mining light in the cave and yelled in, "Hello!" I got in a little ways and had to get down and crawl. I went a little ways in until I came to a big opening where I could see some light on the other side. The cave went all the way through and to the other side of the mountain. I started moving a little faster in that open area, excited to see what would be on the other side, but I tripped in what first I thought was a hole. I got back up and dusted off my pants and looked at what I tripped on. I figured it was probably a black bear because I saw hair everywhere. It looked like some sort of bedding. But it stunk. It stunk awfully. At that moment, I got spooked. Something came over me and sent me into some sort of panic that I have never had before. I knew I had to get out of there fast. Even though I had that Winchester, something wasn't right about this place, and it didn't take me long to get my tail out of there and make my way back to camp. About halfway back, old Buck came running up behind me and scared the daylights out of me. I said a few choice words and patted him on the head and started walking again. Something was bothering Buck, though. His hair was standing up on his back, and he was growling. Looking back at where I had just came from, we made it back to camp and did a little fishing before I nodded off under a willow tree. When I woke up, it was black. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. My light was back at my tent about 50 yards from where I was at. My rifle was leaned up against that willow tree with me. I fumbled around and found the gun and started trying to find my way to the tent. I could hear something moving around me, so I yelled for Buck. Buck was nowhere to be found. After busting my knee on a downed tree and getting cut up by a briar patch, I finally made it to the tent and found my light to start a fire. I could still hear something that stayed out of sight but never stopped moving. Whatever it was, it had me and the horse thoroughly spooked. I tried to calm her down, but she wasn't having any of it, and this added to my fear, so by this time, I was scared to death. About that time, Buck came out of the woods, but he still wasn't acting right either. A million things must have been running through my mind that night as I sat by the fire listening for any kind of movement. The moon was overhead shining a little light along the riverbank, and I was just starting to calm down a little when all of a sudden, Buck let out a bark I had never heard from him before. He cut out after something, and just as I looked up, I saw the shadow of something big break and run, with Buck dead on his keister. What I saw for just a brief second was up on two legs and moving like nothing I had ever seen in my life. It had to be massive by the sound of the limbs it was breaking trying to get away from Buck. I yelled out for Buck, but it was too late. It was no use. I could hear him barking every breath like he was tired. When he got on the other side of the hill, it sounded like he was in a fight. I was too scared to go look. Then he let out a yelp, and that's when I heard it. We don't have the words in our vocabulary to explain the gut-wrenching horror that this thing let out. Nothing I'd ever heard before, and it was deep like a lion. It sent chills down my back, and I began to cry because I knew it was getting my dog, and it was probably going to eat him. For whatever reason, I racked off two rounds out of the 30-30, and it echoed to the river for what seemed like 10 minutes. Just a few seconds later, Buck came running, and I almost shot him out of fear. He was limping, but he was still alive. I started hugging and kissing him, but he was mad. All his hair was standing up, tail straight out, and a steady growl. This is when I noticed my horse had gotten lost, but I wasn't about to go looking for her out in the dark. I just turned back to the fire, and I heard that thing way off in the distance let out another big bellow. I'm 51 years old now, and I will never forget that sound, and that was the last night I camped on the Cumberland River. I'm going to start this off when my parents and I went to a family's friend house to join on a party. This all happened a dreaded summer day in 2012. When we got to the party, it was pretty normal. The adults were drinking beer and doing shots, and us kids were playing video games to let the adults relax and enjoy themselves. My friend S and I were in the middle of Modern Warfare, and I was for once beating him at it. We hear talking about camping because I thought I saw a tent on the map. We were playing, and I mentioned something about wanting to camp again. I looked over, and he smiled, getting up as the match ended and left the room. A few minutes later, he came back and said, "Well, you've got your wish." Well, you got your wish. I convinced your parents to let me take you on a couple of day trips to my favorite camping spot. Give them some time to themselves. I hopped up and said, "Well, let's get on it." I'm ready to build a fire. Him being 21 at the time and I being 13, I saw him as a big brother. Not to mention that my parents thought he would be a good influence on me, which was probably the driving factor there. We hopped in his pickup with all our gear and then set out for our camping excursion. As we got to the camping spot, he told me about how he saw someone already was there, so we went further back into the woods to find a good spot. Finding a small area surrounded by trees next to a river, we set everything up in a hurry because we wanted to get to an airsoft war we had planned while getting ready. It was already starting to get dark, so S got the bright idea that we'd do the game in the dark. I followed him along with it because I was excited and wanted a challenge. Dipping out in different directions, we got to our starting places. S yelled, "Ready?" I took a deep breath and then yelled back, "Begin exercise!" Vaulting over the log I was behind, I looked around for a moment. I started heading to an advantageous area I saw. We both had sidearms, nothing fancy, just basic little, you know, airsoft guns. Getting to the spot, I looked around for any movement. As my eyes fully adjusted to the darkness, everything got very easy to see. Seeing better in the dark has its perks. Scanning the area, I saw slow movements between some trees and took aim. Following it as I did, I thought I had S when he came from behind the trees, but I didn't. The trees were probably 20 feet from me, so I know I didn't lose him. I was really perplexed by this. Hearing a twig break behind me, I rolled to the side and then made myself slide down the hill, aiming back up, trying to see if I could find S. There was nothing there that I could see. Lowering the pistol to get a better look, I saw what I thought was the outline of a person. I only saw an arm and a shoulder, a quarter way up the tree I was near. I popped off a couple of BBs at the person, but it wasn't a person. As I heard the rounds connect with a light thwop, I realized it was an S, and it wasn't even human. It stepped from behind the tree, completely, and then stepped into the moonlight. All of a sudden, I was hit with the most god-awful stench I had ever smelled. This thing was like 9 feet tall, super lanky, but toned, if that makes any sense, but froze when its eyes met mine. They were glowing red. They felt like they were violating me and piercing my soul at the same time. I let out a whimper when I saw its head was a bare deer skull with a bottom jaw somewhat like a human's. Its mouth was lined with long shards and slender teeth. Seeing the look on its face reminded me of when my dad would see a magnificent buck while hunting. I got even more scared, and then I realized it was downwind of me the entire time, and the smell only hit my nose when the wind shifted. Hopping up, I ran down the hill, almost falling twice. Getting down the hill, S popped up from around the tree with a smug look on his face, pointing the airsoft at me. The smugness went away as he looked behind me. He saw the thing as clear as I did, but later he said it was smiling wickedly as it glitched at us. It moved as if it was a video game and you have bad internet where you just pop up and people don't seem fluid. S pushed me as fast as he could and yelled, "Run for the truck!" So I did just that, sprinting as fast as my legs would carry me. I looked back to see S shooting at the thing and backing up as he was getting ready to book it. Getting to the pickup, I hopped in and watched what was going to happen next. It glitched once more and kicked S hard enough for him to fly at least 5 feet to the ground. He opened the door and put the keys in. It started up and we peeled out. Obviously, not being safe while trying to get back to safety, as we left the area and got on the road, I looked back to see the thing standing at the entrance of the camping site, glaring at us until we went around the corner and lost sight of it. All the way back, S was freaked out and kept saying, "Dude, what was that? What the heck was that?" Keeping quiet because of shock, I shook my head. When we got back, everyone was really worried about us. We just looked messed up, and not to mention S had some scrapes. We said a pack of wolves got a little curious for our taste, and we left. This would be the first time of me telling the story to anyone, and I was just thinking about it now and how it sends chills down my spine every time. Years later, I found out what it was when I was talking to my Aunt Mona who was a full-blood Kiowa native. We were having a discussion about the tribe mythos when she described one of the creatures, and she noticed I tensed up. Something wrong? No, that just sounds chilling. But little did I know that that wouldn't be the last time that I saw what I now know was a Wendigo. It was the summer of 1996 on the night of a full moon. I just got out of the army after an 11-year hitch. I hooked up with three friends, two guys and a girl. I ended up talking them into going into the woods for old time's sake. Now, I knew this place like the back of my hand because I used to sneak in there since I was a kid and I had absolutely no fear of it. Anyways, we were roaming around in there for like an hour or two, and we decided to head up to the old mansion that Henry Ford used to go to in the summers. It was actually his summer house. We would get there via a little used trail that ran on the bank of the Rogue River. To the right was the river, and to the left was a semi-forest, swampy area that would be very treacherous to walk through during the day, let alone at night. As kids, we dubbed it the Wastelands and rarely ever ventured in there. While we were hiking, my friends started to fall back behind me. I stopped to tell them to catch up, but as I turned and before the first word left my mouth, I saw it. Well, that's the best way I can describe it anyway. It was about 30 feet from me, moving parallel and running through the part of the swamp forest terrain like a gazelle on an open plain. Its speed and grace bordered on the supernatural. It was thickly muscled, built like a bodybuilder, was at least 6 to 7 feet tall, and covered in black fur. Its hands had freakishly long claws, a head that looked like a wolf's head, but much, much larger. Hind legs that resembled a dog's, but unlike dogs, it was bipedal and running on twos. To top it off, I kid you not, it was looking like it was wearing something that resembled a tattered white shirt. The whole incident lasted no longer than 5 seconds or so, but to me, in that very moment, it felt like an eternity. It ran out of my sight, but before it did, I saw it avoid a tree that was half fallen, resting low to the ground at an almost horizontal angle, without even slowing. In the least bit, it bent backward, not forward, and passed underneath it. I saw it again, and I only spoke about this to a very close friend of mine. Not till the advent of the internet did I finally realize I wasn't the only one that had seen this creature before. Note: months before this happened, a friend of mine was going to renew his parking sticker at the college security building. He was attending classes at U of M and asked if I wanted to keep him company. While he was waiting for his sticker, I glanced at the bulletin board, and on it was a notice warning pedestrians and students to be very wary of a pack of wild dogs running around in the wildlife preserve. I asked the security guard, "Has anyone actually encountered these dogs?" He said no, but the reason why they assumed there was a pack of them was because the animal carcasses, like deer and possums, were being found ripped into pieces all over the place. Now, I didn't link this with what I saw until years later. Anyways, I've never ventured back into this area, and to this very day, I most likely never will. Thank you, Swamp, for sharing my story. I know it wasn't the most scary and not the longest, but I do appreciate it anyway. Lamb Legs is the name of a goat man that lives in a wooded area in Millville, New Jersey, somewhere in Cumberland County. This section of the woods is called Minnetico. It is a popular place to go boating, fishing, and canoeing. It once was a site for mining clay that was shipped to France to make bone china, and the ruins of the mining operation are still there. Nearly 30 years ago, a member of a satanic cult group made a pact with the devil. To seal this pact, he was bound and thrown into the water and drowned. Since then, people have been seeing the creature. They describe this creature as half man and half goat, having the body and arms of a man, and two legs like a goat, a face mixed between the two with goat horns. At first, I thought that this was only stories to scare people into not going into the woods at night. One night, my brother and his friends went into those same woods at night to be romantic with their girlfriends, if you catch my drift. One had a car, another had a panel van, and my brother had his El Camino. When they got to their favorite spot with the girl, they began as all teenagers do. In the dark, they began to hear something walking around in the woods, just out of sight. Thinking it was just some animal, they did not pay much attention to it at first. After a while, it got quieter, and each couple went into their vehicles. The noises of something walking around got closer and closer, and they started to notice it more. Then, something was seen moving around them, staying in the shadows, circling them. They were getting worried and anxious about what it was and what it was doing. An inhuman scream was heard that frightened all of them. They turned on their vehicles and headlights to try and see what it was and where it was. Without warning, all of a sudden, something hit the side of the van, smashing the side wall in, and jumped on top of the van, and screamed even louder than before. They all saw it, lamb legs, as real, as like with demonic glowing red eyes jumping up and down on the roof of the van, screaming in a wild rage. Panicked, frightened, and trying to comprehend this monster, they drove off wildly, out of those woods with lamb legs chasing them, and still screaming at them in a crazed wild rage. It was not until they reached the highway lamb legs stopped the chase. Another night, my uncle and his cousin were in the same woods when they thought they saw a man across the water and went about their business. Suddenly, they heard a loud scream. As they looked to see where it came from, what they thought was a man was then running over the water towards them. They could not believe what they were seeing. When both the fear and reality set in, they both ran for their very lives. Both men jumped into the car and saw up close this evil-looking man, half-goat monster approaching. Terrified, they drove off, being chased by lamb legs. All they could see were his red glowing eyes. My encounter was years earlier, when I was 10 years old. It was in mid-fall. My father was building an addition to the house, and at this time, only the foundation was built at the back of the house. It was 17 feet wide and 20 feet long. That night, my father went to work at the glass factory. He usually worked from midnight to 8 in the morning, and my mother would soon be home because she was getting done at midnight, at the same time my father would be leaving. After my father left, I needed to use the bathroom, which was at the back of the house with the laundry room. The laundry room had one window next to the soon-to-be addition. On the way to the bathroom, I heard some noise outside behind the house where there is a wooded area between the house and the river, about a quarter of a mile away. Curiously, I looked out the back window to try and see what made the noise. It sounded like a horse walking. Then, I saw something in the darkness of the night. Something about 7 feet tall, if I had to guess. It was moving toward the house out of the woods. As it got closer, I could see red eyes. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Those red eyes. What is this thing? I thought to myself. Then, as it moved right up to the edge of the foundation, 17 feet away, fear gripped me. Unbelief gripped me, and horror froze me. Unable to move, unable to speak, and unable to do anything, this thing just looked at me. Those red eyes. The hairy legs seemed unreal, but there it was. Before anything could happen, my mother began to drive into the driveway. This thing dove down and tried to hide from the car lights. As quickly and nimble as a deer, the goat man, or lamb legs, whatever you want to call it, ran back into the woods. At that time, I did not know what people called it. Lamb legs roams the woods in and around Millville. If you go out at night, be careful. Remember, Millville is on the southern end of New Jersey. in the Pine Barrens. And yes, there is a goat man, and his name is Lamblegs. Thanks for listening to these creepy stories sent in by viewers just like you. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to run into any one of these creatures. Especially not Lamblegs. He sounds like a real jerk. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the channel, why not join us here in the swamp? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. These were some really good stories, and if you have one you would like to share, be sure to do so by going to swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story for everyone here in the swamp to listen to. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. I appreciate every single one of you who support the swamp. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite scary stories from the swamp on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and pretty much every other major podcasting platform out there. I know all of you don't have YouTube Premium, and it's kind of hard to listen to videos when you don't have data, so this is a perfect place for you to do that. If you can, leave me a review over there. Any review helps me out a ton. If you made it to the very end, the code word for this episode is Within the Groves. Comment that down below to confuse everyone who didn't make it to the end, and so I can see how many of you do. See you guys soon with another creepy video.